As you know, Building Remote Teams is a brand new podcast. And to celebrate our launch, we have some really awesome discounts to give you from some of our favorite tools for remote teams. We have discount tools for 1Password, Donut, Hey Taco, Carrot, BirthdayBot, KarmaBot, and a ton more. All you need to do is to go to buildingremoteteams.com and subscribe with your email. You'll get a link to the page with all of the recommended tools and discounts that I mentioned above. Now, on to the show. When people aren't working next to you, it's hard to know if they're actually at their desk working, sleeping, walking the dog, or whatever. When I first started hiring people remotely, I had these time trackers that would monitor and take screenshots of people off their screen to see what they were working on. I've always felt scuzzy doing that, and I haven't done it in years, just so you know, but I did want to ask Liam Martin from TimeDoctor.com on their approach for time tracking and how they make it a better experience for everyone. Stay tuned. All right. Hello, everyone. Hello. We are back. Building Remote Teams. This is our first live podcast interview. I'm here with Liam Martin in their beautiful Ottawa office, where I also live. Not the office. I live in Ottawa.
I thought you lived upstairs.
I didn't. Thankfully not. No, I'm entirely remote, especially from here. Liam, great to have you on the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me. Super excited about this.
Awesome.
Very rarely do I get a physical podcast
yes.
conversation, so I think this will be pretty fun.
Well, I've never done it either, so first for both of us. So tell me a little bit about what you do. I know you got a conference, you got like this software, you like all kinds of stuff. Tell me what you got going on.
Sure. So two tech companies, staff.com and timedoctor.com, both tools to be able to improve remote teams productivity. And we also have a conference called Running Remote, which just happens to be the largest conference on building and scaling remote teams. We've done it in Bali, we're currently moving to Austin, and I'm pretty stoked over that.
Very cool. So tell me about Time Doctor and tell me about staff.com, because I think that'll help set the stage for what we're gonna talk about today.
Sure, so basically what those tools do, and I can kind of tell you how I came to using them, and probably that's a good definition of how they work. What they'll do is they don't just monitor how long someone worked, but they tell you how efficiently they've worked. So we'll be able to know what you're spending your time on and also what things you can do to become more efficient. Basically, think of it as like a Fitbit for work. That's pretty much what Time Doctor and staff.com does.
Okay, I like it. Now, do you also have an agency, or you can hire people as well?
So we actually started staff.com as a platform, and it absolutely and completely failed.
Okay.
So long story short, we went from zero to 86,000 MRR within a year.
Wow.
Things were looking great. And by next year, we were at 110,000 MRR, which was not very good. And we had a secret churn problem, which was we had 11% monthly churn. For anyone that's not a SaaS founder, churn is basically the amount of customers that leave you every single month, quarter, or year.
Nice.
And a good churn rate for an SMB product is about 2.5% to 5%.
Mm-hmm.
We were at 11. So that's not a good sign. And the problem that we had was they would not tell us why they were quitting. So what we discovered was there was basically poaching. So we'd do all the work to be able to connect an employer and an employee remotely. And then 6 months later or 3 months later, the employee would say, hey, I'm quitting. And oh, by the way, or the employer would say, hey, you know, I'm letting this person go. But in reality, actually, they were just bringing them off the platform because we were charging a percentage.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. So you did a great job matching them up.
Fantastic.
Just people didn't like having to pay the fee on top of it. Okay.
So this is actually one of the biggest problems that I see in two-sided marketplaces, which is when you look at the way that two-sided marketplaces are structured, if you do not need the individual, so if you're looking for the product but not the person behind the product,
right.
Two-sided marketplaces work.
Mm-hmm.
As an example.
Sure.
If I want an Uber right now, I push the Uber button, some dude shows up in a car and picks me up.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's John, Jim, or Jambalaya. It's
yep.
just some dude that comes and picks me up. Tomorrow, I push the button again, it's
yep.
a completely different dude or gal.
Yep.
With staff.com, I was hiring Jevin.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jevin builds a relationship and ends up having yep. this long-term building, working relationship. And Jevin just says, listen, why don't I just work with you directly? Because these guys are taking 10 or 15% of my paycheck.
Right.
Why don't I just work for you directly and, you know, I'll be much happier and I'll work an extra 5 hours a week, as an example, or something like that.
Right.
And they'll say great to that. So this is actually a deep fundamental problem that you see not just in our version of a two-sided marketplace, but you also see it in Upwork, Freelancer, before that Odesk and Elance. One of the models that actually is working really well, which we talked about just briefly beforehand, is Fiverr.
Sure.
Because Fiverr is a product.
Right.
It's not a person.
Yep.
I need a website built, I go to Fiverr. I need image edited, I go to Fiverr.
It's very transactional. It's like one off.
It's the absolute definition of the gig economy,
right,
which we could also get into. I don't really like the gig economy, to be honest with you. I respect that it's going to open up remote work to a larger workforce. Mm-hmm. But fundamentally, I don't want to set up, you know, websites for people for the rest of my life for 200 right. bucks a pop. That's just, I can't commit to that. I've got to say, I'm going to spend the next 5 years of my life working on this project because I'm really excited about it. That's what really energizes people. Mm-hmm. And I think that the gig economy is kind of seen as this be-all, end-all, when in reality, I don't think it's as big as it's going to be.
Yeah, for me, I think it's like the gateway into, you know, dipping your toe into both hiring people remotely and trying out doing remote work yourself, because maybe, you know, it's something you're already very comfortable with and you know how to do it. But I agree, I don't think it's going to be the be-all and end-all. Let's talk about Time Doctor. I talk to a lot of people, and especially managers, who are just not sure about how to trust their employees, especially new employees who, you know, they're bringing on board and they're not bringing into the office. You know, Time Doctor is a time tracking software, and there's, you know, there's other ones out there, but sometimes I hear, hey, like, I've got this tool and I like capture their screen to be sure that they're working and I can look at it. And I've used Time Doctor myself for some of my, you know, for some of my employees to see if they're working, and similarly Odesk's tools. But I felt like there's got to be a better way to trust, you know, my people. And maybe it's not the best. I feel sometimes a little bit icky about it. You know, what's your take on that? I'm sure you're trying not to be that. So, yeah, what's your take on time tracking?
I can speak to that probably in two separate directions.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a tech startup right now and it's a whole bunch of founding team people all sitting around, and you're all just thinking about how to really get this thing from zero to one,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's tied in and is focused,
yeah.
you don't need Time Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And that pains me to say that, but like, you don't need our product. You should not buy it.
But why not? Why? Everyone's tied in, everyone's...
So if everyone's aligned and you're focusing on a very small team,
okay.
that is not something... If there's a trust issue, or if there's a productivity issue, you'll be able to detect it very, very quickly and able to overcome it.
Sure. You know, you guys are close together. You're communicating all the time. And so you can see if something's not happening right away.
You're also dealing with like thought workers fundamentally, right?
Okay.
So you're dealing with very difficult problems. So your work is actually not going to be the same type of work any other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm doing podcasts. This morning I was doing emails. This afternoon I'm going to be doing another face-to-face meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to be able to measure that data using Time Doctor as an example.
I see.
However, there are two instances in which I think the tool can increase productivity and also be what I call the Trojan horse of remote work.
Okay.
Which is someone that is like Fahim, and we talked about this beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
We did a short for Running Remote, which was the story of Fahim, who is a graphics designer in Dhaka, Bangladesh, who also happens to have muscular dystrophy. And he went from not knowing how to be able to work online at all to having a full-time, very successful job working online as a designer.
Love it.
That type of a situation where he's working on the same, in essence, work every single day,
mm-hmm.
Time Doctor is a pretty good tool for that. If, however, you're working on intense thought work that really requires a lot of different variables,
mm-hmm.
then I would say it's probably not applicable. The other situation that it would be applicable is once you go past your tribe size. So most sociological literature will talk about once you're between 100 and 150 people,
okay.
you're no longer in your tribe stage. People start to become numbers. Fundamentally,
okay.
right? So it's no longer Jaren. It's just some guy that is doing dev work for me.
I see.
And at that point, you really need to be able to know as the HR manager, what are my 2,000 reps doing? We actually just had a client, just Samasource. I don't know if you've ever heard of these guys before.
No, I don't know.
Super interesting company out of Africa. And they take people who are making $2 a day and start paying them $10 a day to be able to do data entry work.
Wow. Okay.
So they use Time Doctor as an example.
Okay.
Because they need to be able to have that type of productivity measurement architecture over what they're currently doing to be able to figure out the productivity of each rep, because they can't invest the time into a $100,000 employee with a human being, but they can invest that time with a piece of software.
Uh-huh.
So Samasource is a tech company. Basically what they do is they train data sets for AI.
Nice.
And they'll take people from Lagos, as an example in Nigeria, and they'll take them from $2 a day to $10 a day. So they use Time Doctor, they use our tool to be able to look at that data for not just the productivity of the of their company, but also the productivity of the individual. So they'll be able to know, well, how did you spend your time and what do the good reps spend their time on and how is their data different from the people that are not really succeeding that much in that position?
Nice. So they could see that these people are spending time in Excel spreadsheets or on the Samasource data entry website and not spending time on Facebook.
Well, or even more specifically, maybe they are spending time on Facebook and that actually boosts their productivity.
Oh, okay.
So we use a lot of machine learning to be able to figure out what makes someone productive in a particular position.
Oh, wow.
And one of the biggest surprising signals that we've found is people that are accessing Facebook at least once a day are more productive than people that don't. And what we've ended up discovering, because this was actually like a very interesting, and it was a very strong green signal that like this is what the AI says makes you more productive versus non-productive.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation was that you would do an IP block on Facebook. So you just shut down Facebook directly from their internet access.
Okay.
And they would go to their mobile.
Oh.
So for us, we actually tell people don't lock down any websites in a large corporate company, because what you're in essence doing is, do you want that notification to happen on the desktop or do you want it to happen on the mobile, in which they leave the office, go into the bathroom and go on Facebook for half an hour?
Sure, yeah.
So it's like, do you want to be more productive or do you want to be right?
Okay.
Like that's basically the differentiator that we kind of connect to with Time Doctor, which is, can we use machine learning to be able to really improve people's overall productivity and look deeply into what they're doing throughout their workday and how to optimize their workday. And a lot of that is actually pretty counterintuitive.
Huh.
We've said very clearly, we believe that the average workday should be about 4 hours and 36 minutes.
I'm down for this. Okay, tell me about that.
It makes you more productive.
Really?
So at least from our data, we've found that people that work this 9-to-5, you know, kind of like industrialization era work week or work day, it doesn't apply to not just, so number one, it doesn't apply to the way that we work in general, but more importantly, different types of jobs have completely different work times. So developers, as an example, have almost a perfect correlation with creative writers.
Okay, and what's their best time to
work? So they'll work on large stints of time. Like they might work for 18 hours and then they don't sleep they don't come back to work for 2 days.
Okay, sure.
It's a very interesting, and that's how they actually end up, because we've connected that back to like Jira as an example, to be able to see, well, how's their code? Did it have to come back from QA? That kind of stuff.
Okay.
And we're finding that there are certain ways that developers work that a 9-to-5er just should not work. A salesperson, as an example, should be working a 9-to-5 because most people are up from that 9-to-5.
Oh, their clients are going to be on.
Their clients are going to be on.
I see.
For me, as an example, one of the biggest insights that I had inside of my data was Tuesday afternoons were absolutely horrible for me.
Huh.
And until I started to actually look at the data and realize that Tuesday afternoons were horrible for me, I didn't recognize how bad it was. And basically, what had happened was, and we're both in Canada, so we know about this, on Tuesdays, there's cheap movie nights.
Oh, yeah.
So at around 2 p.m., the calls usually start from one of my friends or from my girlfriend saying, hey,
Let's go see the movie.
Are we going to go see Batman or Superman?
Nice.
Well, I want to see Batman. I want to see Superman. Okay. Does Suzanne want to come? I don't know if Suzanne wants. Can you call her? Do you want to do the 4 o'clock showing or the 7 o'clock showing?
I see.
Does Jevin want to come? So does Jevin want to bring his wife and kids? Like all of this.
So you're spending all this time kind of coordinating.
It's like an interruption attack.
Interesting.
So now I take Tuesday afternoons off completely.
Okay.
And my productivity has gone up.
Because maybe you know in the mornings I've got to get stuff done because Tuesday afternoon.
I'm literally done by 1 p.m. on Tuesdays.
Wow.
And I'm finished. I block everything else off and, you know, my time is better spent doing other things. So that's what we really want to get to is how can you gain insights into work to be able to make people more productive, not necessarily work longer.
Yep.
And in reality, actually, from the majority of the data that we've seen, working longer doesn't work.
Wow. So you're actually time tracking yourself and you're trying to use that as data to be able to optimize your productivity.
Everyone uses it in the company.
Wow.
Everyone knows exactly how many hours I'm currently working. So we give everyone else clarity into everyone else's data inside of the organization.
Wow. So it sounds like you're using it in a really healthy way. You know, I've
seen... So it's like dynamite.
Yeah.
Right? It can be used in a healthy way and it can be used in an unhealthy way.
Sounds like the internet. So, okay. Because most people that I hear using the time tracking are doing it because they just don't trust their employees and they're like, I want to be sure that they're sitting at their desk and they're like...
And that's a major part of the monitoring component, and I won't deny that a significant part of our business model is inside of that.
Sure.
However, once we deploy that piece of software, and I've seen this happen a lot in large corporate, because large corporate are the ones that I'm really focused on.
Yeah, they have money to spend.
They have money to spend, and more importantly, they also have a lot of employees that work on premise and do not feel comfortable about working remotely.
Okay.
So stage one is, okay, you don't want anyone to work remotely. Listen, why don't we deploy this tool? Everyone can stay in the office and now you can get a data layer for that.
Nice.
Right?
You're like a baseline. Now, like a...
You got your baseline.
Okay.
Now, why don't you take a department out for a month?
Oh, sure.
See what's up.
Like out, like have them work from home or they work from home. Wherever they want.
Did their productivity go up? Did it go down? Did they get more things done? Did they get less things done? Did their work hours go up or down? You know, what were the changes?
Yeah.
Then we can look at those changes.
Wow.
You know, spoiler alert, 95% of the time, it's much better.
Wow.
Which is how we end up saying you should buy Time Doctor.
Yeah.
For everyone.
Yeah.
So that's basically what we do to be able to be the little Trojan horse of remote work.
Huh. So it's like, hey, let's track them. You know, to be sure everything's going okay. And then, oh, shoot, after a month, they're like, oh, actually, they're doing better because...
Right. Once we take them remote, they're actually doing better.
Yeah.
And a lot of large corporate are going to have an issue where, like, I'll go into a large boardroom and literally everyone is like, the number one question is, how do I know what they're doing?
Yeah.
And for us in this world of remote work, I know that we're past that. But when you look at the majority of, and I'm talking like, 95% of the on-premise world,
that's
their number one concern.
Is the trust of working at home.
How do you actually, I mean, you could talk about, well, just trust them. Yeah. That's not an answer.
No, it's very wishy-washy and it's super not tangible.
What if I could actually provide you a piece of software that would delete that problem as a concern for you? That's in essence what Time Doctor does.
Hmm.
And also too, we do it with the clear goal of helping the employee become more productive. So there are a couple other tools on the market that you install secretly into someone's computer.
Okay.
And we just fundamentally don't believe in that because then the employee can't actually see their own data and gain insights from their own data.
I see.
So as I said before, Fitbit for work, we're not Big Brother for work. We're Fitbit for work.
Hmm. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, that's pretty cool. All right, so what would you say to someone who then says like, I don't trust my employee to work from home? Okay, yeah, sure, the tool is a helpful means to be able to test that out as a baseline. But like, what other ways do you advocate for being able to trust your employees to start working from home and start taking that first step to try this out?
So I generally, there's a video on this. I made it on youtube.com/runningremote.
Okay, we're gonna, we will link that.
So basically, if you're an employee, what I would suggest that you do is go to your employer, say, hey, I want to work remotely. Here are all the advantages of working remotely. I'm going to, on average, it's a 20% increase in productivity and a 30% increase in retention, which is the thing that no one really talks about.
Yeah.
Which for That's the one you want to tell your employer, mm-hmm. because anytime you got to fire someone or someone quits, right. it costs $42,000 on average in the United States to replace them.
Wow.
So that's expensive.
Yeah.
And that's something that you really need to be able to be mindful of when you go into that conversation. That'll be the winner. Then you just say, listen, why don't we set up a remote work agreement? Mm-hmm. We have templates, actually, that you can just go to youtube.com/runningremote and check them out. And you implement a very clear one-month experiment saying, I would like to be able to work from home. Here are the KPIs that I have that mm-hmm. I'm responsible for. I'm going to execute on these. And if you want to deploy a tool like Time Doctor, you absolutely can. You could say, listen, I'll give this to you. You know, there's no risk to you. Mm-hmm. The biggest risk to you is you lose a month of payroll.
Yep. Which is a real thing.
Which is a real thing. But like in the grand scheme of things, I would say on average, I'm going to reduce your costs by 40%.
Right.
Because if you can take your entire company remote and you keep exactly the same salaries, on average, you're going to save 40% versus the on-premise model. And I know we're on a podcast about remote work and everyone kind of knows this kind of stuff, but yep. it's worth reinforcing, particularly for remote advocates and your employer who maybe is not a remote advocate.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I did an O'Reilly workshop last week, actually, mm-hmm. on how to convince your boss to do remote work.
Oh, wow. And
yeah, it was pretty well. We had about 100 people there. It was great. And yeah, now I like the idea of maybe adding something like Time Doctor to actually make those baseline metrics. Because it's not, you know, with weak managers, KPIs aren't always there, you know? And so sometimes it's a bit wishy-washy to actually be able to measure, you know, productivity, whether you're in the office or at home.
And that boils down to bad management,
yeah.
fundamentally.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of people that are just like, what yes. metrics am I responsible for?
Right.
Every employee, at least at Time Doctor
right.
and staff.com and Running Remote,
yep.
they have a core number that they're responsible for
oh.
that they can also change.
Yep.
So like, I can't tell someone who's a frontline salesperson, your mission is to keep us above 50% year-over-year growth.
Right. Okay.
That's not going to work.
Yeah, they can't right? They can't control.
They can't control that. But I could tell a salesperson, your job is to do $2,500 in new MRR for the month.
Sure.
Right? Or a customer support rep, you have to keep your MPS score above 86, as nice. An example, that type of thing. So like, those are numbers that they can control, and those are the ones, and we also know how do they connect back to the Compass metric above them. Mm-hmm. So let's say MPS connects back to churn. And we can see a direct correlation where if we have a huge drop in NPS, mm-hmm. Net Promoter Score, which is basically how happy you are and how willing you are to refer the product to someone else,
yes.
that has a direct correlation towards churn rate.
Huh.
And it's about a 2-month delay. So NPS goes down,
yep.
2 months later, churn screws up. Yeah.
So you said Compass? You said
something? Yeah, so we have what are called Compass metrics,
okay.
which are basically core metrics. We use a tool called Clipfolio, which is another local Canadian
company. Another Ottawa
company,
yeah.
And we have all of these metrics on our dashboard, like internally we share everything. Revenue, churn rate, how many customers we have, which customers we lost, which are our top logos, you know, what's our MPS, what are our new features that are coming in, how much time are we tracking, and
yeah.
The biggest one that we track above all else is how many hours are tracked inside of the platform.
Nice.
Because yeah. that feeds into absolutely everything else. When we see a drop in the amount of hours tracked, we will see a drop in revenue.
Right.
It will happen in 2 to 3 to 4 months, but it will happen. And it's something that is just such a good indicator of the health of the business.
Yeah, I feel that the KPI for a lot of companies who are on premise, it's, you know, how many people do I have sitting in, how many bums in seats who I can see with my eyes as I'm walking around aren't watching YouTube and aren't on Facebook, you know, this week. I feel like this is a very common thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, again, that's the right versus actually productive mm-hmm. argument.
Yeah.
I can sit at this desk for a long ass time and do nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Would you rather have me sit here for 2 hours and really knock some work out? Or would you rather have me sit here for 8 hours and knock out maybe 2 hours and 15 minutes? Am I getting an extra 15 minutes a day? Yes.
Right.
Am I much more unhappy about my life? Yes. Trade the 15 minutes for 2 hours of hyper-productivity. That's my opinion. And I also back it up with the largest second-by-second work database on the planet. So
yeah,
you should pay attention to that type of information.
That's pretty compelling.
So yeah, it's definitely something that I've been a great advocate for. But to be honest with you, when I speak to on-premise companies, it is a very difficult battle.
Yeah, sure it is. It's a huge cultural shift for people who are used to having people in the office. They can reach, they can choke, they can, you know, then versus when they're at home and they're just, it's a lot less tangible as to what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think the other part of it is they just have I went to business school and people do 40-hour work weeks and that's what they do.
This is what you do.
Right, but it's just like, why should there be one model of working for all the different types of working that we have?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Liam, thanks a lot for coming on the show. This is great.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it that you came all the way to Ottawa, Canada to be able to meet with me.
It's true. Yeah, I biked here, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah, great. All right, so thanks everyone for listening. So from Liam and I, until next time, keep building those remote teams. Cheers for now. Hey listeners, we're really trying to get the message out about how remote teams can be so awesome. If you found this podcast helpful, would you take 60 seconds to leave us a review in iTunes? It helps us rank to have more people learn about this show, and it helps us know which content is the most helpful. As a thank you, I'll try to read every review on the show and give you a shout out. Thanks a lot!